So the state of the law currently, though, is that there is this exception in subsection F of 18 U.S.C. 1030, which authorizes or rather exempts law enforcement from the blanket ban that exists. And so while we wait for policymakers to hash out kind of the legislation that would modernize the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, there is this potential exception. And one means to take advantage of this exception might be to engage with law enforcement proactively so that they understand what's going on and maybe the threats that are, if you're talking about advanced persistent threat where you're dealing with something for a long time, perhaps a current threat or a series of attacks, anything of that nature, to engage with law enforcement and to become effectively deputized to pursue under the law enforcement's exemption here in subsection F. Active defense measures to be specified by that authorization and by that law enforcement agency.
There is a downside to this, though, which coming from law enforcement, I can say that's great and that we have exempted our own law enforcement officers, so it's not illegal in the United States to do that. That doesn't mean if you attack back to another country that you have not violated the law in that other country. We have a number of FBI agents who did these kinds of hackbacks. For example, they can't travel abroad anymore because the Russians put out warrants for their arrest. So if they're traveling in a country that's going to be friendly to Russia and honor that warrant, they could be arrested. And there's very little chance that our legal attachés are going to get them back or our State Department's going to get them back. So just because that we authorize it does not mean the foreign country where it's occurring is going to recognize our authority to do so.
Absolutely. And thank you for making that point, Alan. One of the key features of making this approach work is that the authorization would need to inherently be limited along guardrails that are understood by the parties to any such authorization or agreement, and that mitigate to the extent possible some of these complications, including foreign law complications, including potentially assuming a liability agreement or a framework wherein if there is damage to a third party system in the course of engaging in an active defense campaign, the private actor who is taking those active defense measures would be liable to that third party. And in addition to that, Alan and I discussed what would make a lot of sense would be to condition it upon reporting that the information discovered back to law enforcement officials and potentially back to CISA or another federal coordinating agency to disseminate any threat signals identified and to help other private sector actors protect their systems before that threat actor uses a similar tactic to gain access to their networks. And so all of this to say, it's a very much, it requires more policymaking. But in the meantime, there is this route that with proactive engagement with law enforcement and careful rules and guidelines that could serve as a solution to the blanket ban and the limitations that it imposes on network defenders. This state of affairs is already occurring and frankly was always going to occur because law enforcement, as mentioned, does have limited resources, right? And in addition, the entity most familiar with the private actor's network is going to be that private actor, not necessarily law enforcement who are engaged after the fact or during a security event. As a result, the most efficient individuals to deal with that situation would be the people who know their network, the people who are on site and have you know, the resources to engage, because it's their network and they can prioritize it. And so as a result, this sort of active defense tactic is occurring, and in many cases through law enforcement. Whether that's just as a result of engaging law enforcement, as one should in most serious cyber events, but also because it could be because of this exemption and to avail themselves of the protection of the subsection F exemption. So here's a story from 2018. And increasingly recently, we're seeing similar actions from major corporations like Facebook, which hired a third-party security consultant to develop a vulnerability in Tails, which is a Linux-based operating system that's used to protect security, and in this case has been used to protect the security of a child predator who Facebook was able to help the FBI identify through active defense tactics.